Here we go. Just past 5 o'clock. 866-391-1020 is that number. Love talking to you. This is an interesting topic, and it's one very near geographically to my home, by 3/4 of a mile. And it impacts my community. Not mine. It's not just mine, but the community I'm a part of. So I talked about this the other day. So last week, I guess it was late last week, there were, let's get it square because so many people have messed this up. There were FBI and ICE, I should say, I don't want to say raids because that's the wrong way to put it. There was FBI and ICE activity at the Emiliano's restaurant in Cranberry, which is not very near my house. Well, I guess about 10 miles away. Eight, nine miles away. And then the one in Gibsonia, which is a mailing address. I guess it's Richland Township, right over the border. It's where Richland and Hampton come together. And that's about 3/4 of a mile from my house. I can walk there. And they took 16 people out between the two. 9 people at the place right by my house. And they have... they're gone. They are not in this country legally. Okay? So, let me follow up with this. Because I am blown away that the restaurant, not some bleeding heart, but the restaurant in and of itself, put up a GoFundMe. And it has now raised $130,000 plus. $130,000 plus. Now, the restaurant is owned by a man and his very recent ex-wife. Okay? They have a $700,000 plus home and then another house that they're renting. The guy has a G-Wagon, which is over $120,000. The woman also has a luxury vehicle. So does their son who just went off to college. All vehicles in excess of $80,000, right? So that's what we're working with here. Okay? Just for clarity's sake. Now, here is the deal. Overnight, yesterday after I got off of work, and then this morning, I spoke to multiple people, formerly and currently, employed by Emiliano's restaurants. Keep that in mind. Keyword, currently some of them. I can say with 100% certainty, I couldn't be more steadfast in my belief the GoFundMe the restaurant has is a self-serving sham for the owners. I couldn't be more steadfast in saying that and be confident about that. They've done zero for the people who are incarcerated, and they are not operating on the up and up, I'm told. Okay? Now, more so, over the weekend, and I didn't talk about this yesterday because, well, the Clareton news was the news of the day. About 15 small business owners, seemingly every pizza shop owner in and around a 8-mile radius of my house, and landscape company owners and a couple other people contacted me. Some of them I know, most of them I don't. Either via social media, some email, some have my cell phone, which is fine. My cell phone's easy to get. And they preach to me about how unfair it's been to them. Okay? That a place has, mind you, people taken out who are working there illegally, and the public is duped into giving the owners of that place $130,000. One person wrote in an email, I'll just read an excerpt from it. Why I'm frustrated, why everybody's frustrated, because at the end of the day, it's just common sense. And then there's the pricing hypocrisy. Pay somebody $15 an hour, $20 an hour. It's only fair. And then they come in and complain about prices. And in situations like this, I can't help but wonder about the Mexican restaurant up the street that actually follows the rules and pays regular wages. Nobody gave them $100,000 to make sure they could compete with a guy down the road paying half of what they have to pay, skipping workman's comp, skipping insurance. That's huge. Doing things the right way costs money. And it's not a fair fight when someone else is cutting every corner and getting rewarded for it. That's what was written to me in an email from somebody who owns a small business very near where I live. Now, here's what we twisted our brains into with this Emiliano situation and largely bleeding heart suburban moms who want to see their name on a list so that they could get recognition at their kids' soccer games. What we've twisted our brain into for social currency. In some unyielding hate for Donald Trump, and I don't agree with all his policies, that's for damn sure. They can't see the big picture, though. They're willing to bury other small businesses that actually do things for our community, that actually show up, that actually pay taxes, that actually do it the right way, all because they don't like the process of deportation. And that's what's happening here. They are perfectly willing to bury other small businesses. Many of them have been in our communities much longer. Many of the proprietors of those other small businesses are the businesses that sponsor your kids' Little League teams, bring pizza and sell it at half price, sell it to you at half price, you sell it at full price and make a profit, show up at your blood drives. The same kind of places that you see their names on the fences at your Little League field. Give that donation. Do all that. You're willing to stomp on their face because you hate Donald Trump so much and hate the fact in the way that people are being deported, and you're going to prop up somebody doing it wrong. I said it the other day, and I'll say it again. And my heels are dug firmly into the sand so deep that they're sinking. Anybody who gave so much as one dime to this GoFundMe is a traitor and un-American. And when it all comes out from the FBI, you're going to have egg on your face. But what's going to happen is you'll manufacture some excuse. You'll say that this happened or that happened or actually nothing. You paid into and bought into and gave money to a business harboring illegal people. Not one, not two, not three. 16 all at once. If somebody slides bad papers past the business owner to want to work, it happens here and there. When 16 people all at the same time have bad papers, do you know what that is? That's a calculated effort also with management and ownership in on it. And in this case, it's human trafficking. I hope you feel good about yourself because you're burying the small businesses that have truly helped out your communities. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. All right, let me go over real quick to poke some more holes in this thing with the Emiliano's GoFundMe, which is put up by Emiliano's restaurant. First of all, their owners are rich. They're millionaires. And they can't flip the funds for the illegal workers they had in there. Illegal aliens, I'll say it. People are afraid. Undocumented. They're illegal aliens. Sorry. They're in this country illegally. So in a graph on here, it says, we are raising $100,000 to cover the $3,000 bond hearing per person, roughly, and their salaries for this month, which equates to $50,000 for all 16 of our employees who were detained. First of all, they're getting deported. So they're never going to work there again. Okay? Second of all, and it goes on to say they've been separated from their families or whatever. Somebody who works at Emiliano's told me this. Not one of the people arrested has family in America. They've not been separated from their family. They're here working illegally. So this notion that they're trying to capitalize on bleeding hearts, nobody has some little daughter at home in at Ross Township or something. Every single person, all 16, are singularly here working. Just so we have that straight. Nobody's daughter's holding a teddy bear waiting for them to come home at some apartment in McCandless. That's a fraudulent lie to tug on the heartstrings of people. And they've done it. But more so, it says to cover the bond hearings. Immigration attorneys in this town are going to take this case for each of these 16 people pro bono so as to get free advertising because it's pretty high profile. On top of it, it's actually not going to cost that much. There's not going to be that many court appearances. Do you know why? Because these people are here illegally. There's really nothing to fight. And they've got them dead to rights. So this notion that they're trying to raise these funds and allocate them towards these things, there's holes to be poked in all of this. You get put your money where you want. Spend your money however you like. I'm just telling you, it's a sham. Phil's in Homewood. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you. This is a scam, and that's all that it is. Like, the people are never going to see that money. You're not going to send it to their home country if you even know where they're going. And how come they never seem to get, the owners never seem to get fined or in any type of trouble with the IRS for not paying the taxes they should have been paying?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I know this, which isn't a guess. This is far from over. And whenever you look at the agencies who went to this place, it wasn't just ICE. So people can go on, especially progressives, on the internet and yell and scream and bemoan and complain and bellyache all about ICE that they want. Maybe they should pay attention a little bit more to the three letters on those jackets that were at Emiliano's just the other day. Because a few of them said FBI. When that is the issue, then 16 people working illegally is not the beginning and the end of your issue. Which is why I know, not think, that this is going to get much deeper. And the people who gave all this money are, well, giving money and giving it to the owners. 866-391-1020. I have a question real quick before we get out of here about electric vehicles. And I do have to run something past Margo because she's kind of an expert in this field. All right. Oh, Margo, I'm getting a text here from Selena Zito. She wants you to send her some of the interview. I'm going to get her email. We're having private conversations in public over the microphone. How about that? That makes for good radio, right?
Just text the email, Colin.
You just had a public conversation in private over the microphone. Why did you get suckered into that? You're not going to answer?
Wait, what?
I said that was a private conversation, and we're having it over the microphone. We should have had that off air.
Yeah, so let's...
All right, tell me... So I woke up this morning. Why is my wife and my daughter... why are they all excited about Taylor Swift, Margo Swizzle? Tell me about all of this.
Well, I don't know if there's...
Bring me up to speed, though, pop culture-wise. Okay. Go. What's happening? Tell me.
Well, Taylor Swift announced a new album that is coming out, but the way she announced it was on the New Heights podcast, which is the Kelce brothers, Travis and Jason Kelce. So it was kind of funny that she announced it there as a promo for her new album. And people were freaking out because she put a timer on her website to count down until 12:12 last night. So everyone stayed up and saw what the announcement was, and it was.
Wait a minute. Stop. I'll stop you right there, and I'll let you continue.
Okay.
So she put a timer up, but they didn't know when it counted to zero what it meant?
Correct.
Okay.
So when 12:12 hit, she posted on her Instagram a clip of her on the New Heights podcast, which is the Kelce Brothers podcast.
For the second time, yes. We know that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you stay up to 12:12?
Yeah, I did.
And so, okay. All right, here we go. So take me through this. So when 12:12 hit, what was the verbiage or what did it say about the announcement? Was it very clear she was coming out with a new album?
No, it didn't say anything. So I was kind of annoyed. But then I checked Instagram and she had posted a video that she was coming out with a new album. So then I was fine.
Okay. So when will this new album be out?
We don't know yet.
Okay. Speaking for the Swifties? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I can actually speak on.
No. This is good. This is good stuff. So at 12:12. So did you go to bed disappointed or what?
Well, no. I wasn't going to get my hopes up that a whole album was going to be dropped at midnight. But I'm excited. I'm very happy that she's coming out with a new album.
Okay. But there's no time frame on this.
Correct. It'll probably be in the next couple of months.
Are the cuts already cut or are there songs nobody knows?
I don't think she put the song list out yet.
Okay. And even if she did, are they things she's already performed or they're all new songs?
All new songs. Okay. And also, she hasn't even released the artwork for the album cover.
That's a big thing.
I guess. Okay. I don't know.
All right. So I got it. Now, will you go buy the new Taylor Swift record or will you download it or however people get music now?
Yeah, I don't have a CD player or a record player, so I'm not going to buy it. I'll just download it on Apple Music, which I have.
Does that cost money?
No.
Okay. I don't have any of these things. I just go to YouTube.
How do you
and
listen?
Place.
Oh, really?
I go to YouTube or I don't really get a bunch of new music.
Oh.
You know, kind of.
You just listen to.
Well, no, you could find everything on YouTube.
Yeah, but then you have all these ads.
Yeah, it is what it is. It plays the full song normally. And then, but you're right. It does have a. But my daughter's trying to say, what, or Spotify? I don't know. One of them. She get that or Apple Music. They have both, and they have all these songs. I mean, they have 9 gazillion.
Yeah.
And I think it's a subscription thing you pay every month. I know I sound like a 100-year-old man, but I listen to music on the satellite in the car.
On the radio?
No, the satellite. Like, yeah, on the radio and the console. Like, the Grateful Dead channel, Outlaw Country, all that.
Okay.
So I'll hit that and I'll get my fill of stuff, although you can't control what comes on.
Yeah. And which is kind of fun sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But if I find something that I like, I'll remember it or write it down and then go find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But like you say, there's things. Now, is Taylor Swift touring anytime in the near future?
Probably not. She just came off one of the biggest tours ever in history, so probably not.
Oh, I'm aware.
But my wife
and daughter went to Los Angeles for this.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I went to the Philly show.
Oh, how was it?
Incredible. Insane.
Yeah. That was the, what tour was it called?
The Eras Tour.
The Eras Tour. They went to the Eras Tour. They went to Los Angeles. And here's they had some in-on tickets in Los Angeles, and they got them at like face value. So flying to Los Angeles and staying a night and all that ended up being like cheaper the same price than buying secondary market tickets in Pittsburgh. Does that make sense?
Yeah, good for them.
And they got to go to LA.
And I heard that was a really good concert. The Pittsburgh ones were awesome too.
Now, my daughter went here in Pittsburgh and in LA.
Oh, that's cool.
And
do you know what night she went?
In LA?
No, in Pittsburgh.
The second one.
Okay.
Yes. Not when Bob Huggins was driving around drunk. You don't know that reference.
No.
But he was. Anyway, now, will you, how much, okay, here, now we're on to something. If I told you this is the very tip, and now you're a working girl, man. You got money, Margo. So if I told you this is the very tippy top that you would spend for a Taylor Swift ticket, what is it?
Well, probably the amount I spent on Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Tickets.
You got to tell the people. We've walked down this road now. Who cares? You've already spent it. I will never hold it against you or think you're odd because I am real big on experiences rather than tangible things. I've had the same black t-shirts from Lululemon and that company at Dick's for like 10 years, whatever this, what's VRST or whatever, like the Dick's brand. I buy like 3 black t-shirts every 5 years and that's what it is. I'd rather experience things. Yeah. So I'm not, if you said you spent $100,000, I wouldn't bat an eye. How much did you spend?
I spent $330.
$330 on a single ticket.
Yes, and I don't regret a thing because it was a 3-hour concert and 2 of the openers were people that I would spend at least $100 to see each of them in concert alone.
Who were the openers?
Gracie Abrams.
Oh, yeah, she's gotten big, yes.
Yeah, and Phoebe Bridgers.
I don't know Phoebe Bridgers, but Gracie Abrams.
Do you know Paul Mescal, who was...
Paul Mescaline? No, I stay away from Mescaline.
Okay, well, this guy was in Gladiator, too.
Okay. No, again, I don't know this. Now, okay. My daughter and wife are going to some other big concert that's coming to the arena. Sabrina Carpenter?
She was also an opener for the Eras Tour.
There we go. So
I think in L.A.
Oh, well, then there you go. Maybe that's why they went.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh. So
good for them. I'm glad that they're also Swifties.
They are. Oh, they're gigantic Swifties. My daughter, or my wife, is a year younger than me. She had all these bracelets and, like, a glitter with the number 13 on her arm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, she was into it. It was a great bonding moment for those two.
And people that are so cynical about Swifties, I don't even want to hear it. Let people like what they like.
I am not cynical about it at all. I have gotten to the point in my life, I probably got there about a decade ago. Experiences are far more important than tangible things.
I think people have been getting annoyed because some people only know who Travis Kelce is because of Taylor Swift. If you know what I mean.
So what? Just like these people that griped and moaned or whatever the last couple of years when they would show Taylor Swift in the private box at the game.
Yeah.
So what? So really, they showed her, like, if you did the whole game and added it up, like 40 seconds.
Yeah.
And second of all, they were catering to another market which came in to watch the game only because Taylor Swift was there.
It brought so much money to the NFL.
So there you go. I'm on your side.
Thank you.
I am. So you but you don't know when this record's coming out.
No, I don't. But I'll keep you updated.
Okay. Yeah. You're our pop culture consultant. Good work by you, Margo.
Thanks.
All right. You can host the show tomorrow. How about that?
Okay.
There isn't one. Yes, great stuff. Oh, geez, they're showing this countdown thing, Margo. And I'm not talking about Taylor Swift anymore. I'm not a Swiftie, but I'm not anti-Swiftie. Makes sense? I'm just kind of, you like what you like, I like what I like. So there's that. I wish her a long and wonderful career because she's fantastic. Does a lot for charity. A lot of people rally around her. There's nothing negative about Taylor Swift. Absolutely zero.
I love that you say that.
I mean it. Like, if you have a problem with her, you're trying too hard to have a problem. She has all these people backstage all the time. She gives to local charities in the town that she's in.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What's the problem? People who have a problem with her are trying to find a problem with her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that simple. All right, real quick before I get out of here. No show tomorrow. No show Friday. Because the Pirates have these weird 2-something start times. All right, how about this? So Ford's going to invest $2 billion, with a B. $2 billion in Louisville, Kentucky assembly plant. But here's what they're doing. With this plant, they're going to manufacture affordable electric vehicles. That's what they got going on. Affordable electric vehicles. Now, it's going to create 4,000 new jobs, which is always great. And here's the goal and the aim for Ford. They want to create affordable vehicles that delight customers in every way that matters. Design, innovation, flexibility, space, driving pleasure, and cost of ownership. And do it with American workers. That's what their CEO said, Jim Farley. It's a universal EV program. And it's centered around low-cost EVs. Mid-size 4-door electric pickups are first. So the mid-size pickup, probably a little bit smaller than the F-150. Going to launch in 2027. Here's the real part that you circle. The starting price is going to be $30,000. If they can make a pickup truck and you can get a couple bells and whistles for $35,000, $37,000, and there's no gasoline, I kind of think they can make it work. And a lot of people would buy. And then if it moves on to a sedan or especially an SUV at a price point that's low. I've driven an EV. I've driven the Mach-E. I had a little bit of range anxiety. Once I got over that, I was all right. That was the tough part. And other than that, the drive was incredible. It was quiet. It was good. The stuff inside, in terms of the electronics, fantastic. If they can keep that price point down and also throw in that charger, high-speed charger, that's another thing. I got a feeling it's an investment that can pay back a gazillion-fold, and a lot of people would start driving these EVs. It's going to be interesting to see where that market goes. All right, no show tomorrow. I've had my fill, by the way. I should just let Margo host the last hour of the show. Probably get a lot better ratings. Anyhow, we're out of here. I'll talk to you on Thursday. I'll be back then, and we'll have a wonderful time at 2 o'clock.